Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Final Femme podcast. My name is Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hello. Hello, Sid.
How are you?
I'm doing okay now that this movie's over.
Oh.
How about you, Sid?
I'm good. There's not a lot of horror movies we review that I haven't seen either, so this was a new one for me. I'm guessing you also haven't seen it?
No, I had not.
What did you think?
Well, I should have seen this movie because I was like, I liked, okay, don't come at me, audience, but I liked this music at the time when it came out.
Oh.
The new metal and Korn.
This soundtrack was fun.
Yeah. New metal hasn't really aged the best, I guess.
No.
I don't know. So the music is written by Jonathan Davis and some other people, and I was very surprised to hear his voice in these songs. So I was like, whoa, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie was very... I don't know. It was pretty boring, to be honest.
I've always been curious about this one. I need to up my vampire game. I was thinking about it. I haven't seen that many vampire movies, actually. And I missed this one. And I will say, it's very pretty. It's very vibey. Like, I had fun watching this, but there are some things that I'm like, you know, I wanted more of this, less of this, which we'll get into. But it was fun.
A lot of filler, it feels like.
Yeah. And then at the end, it's just like super sped up. But again.
Yeah.
Okay. So Queen of the Damned came out, let's see, February 22nd, 2002.
Mm.
So.
Valentine movie.
Valentine's Day movie.
Well, if you postpone celebrating Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Valentine's Day. Famously, as people do. And it stars Stuart Townsend and Aaliyah and a bunch of other folks we'll get into. And, of course, this was Aaliyah's last movie, sadly, because she passed away August 25th, 2001. And I wrote down all the lore of how she passed, but we actually don't need to get into it. It's very sad. So, anyways, so this is the third book in the Anne Rice Vampire Chronicle series. So before that comes Interview with the Vampire and then The Vampire Lestat. And I read somewhere that they kind of combined a little bit of Vampire Lestat with this book, which could also be why it feels kind of confusing at times.
Yeah, there's not a lot of backstory.
Yeah.
We get some backstory, like some stuff's focused on like Lestat's and all that stuff. But like we were talking before, like how does the royal blood and the pure blood, how does that happen? And like it dude, y'all kind of confused.
Yeah, and we'll get into it. So a very quick synopsis is in this loose sequel to Interview with a Vampire, the vampire Lestat becomes a rock star whose music wakes up the equally beautiful and monstrous queen of all the vampires. I mean...
A rock star?
Jack!
Why not president vampire?
Lestat has major Leo energy. He's like, listen, I need everybody to see me and appreciate me.
Are you talking about Leo...
Leo, like not? The zodiac sign.
Oh, I thought you meant like Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, no, I was.
Wow, shows where my head was.
Yeah, it's with Leo.
Okay.
So this movie was an hour and 41 minutes, which fits under Jack's role. I didn't forget.
Why'd you stop pocket, Sid? You expect me to say something here?
So the estimated budget for this one was $35 million, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Opening weekend, it made $14,757,535.
Okay.
Yeah. They overshot a little bit. And then gross worldwide, it made $45,479,110.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no follow-up.
Yeah, right. They're like, okay, I think we're good. So the tagline, the official tagline on the IMDb page is the mother of all vampires, that's fine.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Did you have, there's only three, so I guess, did you have a favorite?
All she wants is hell on earth.
Yeah, I like that one too.
She's very much a burn it to the ground type of personality.
God, I wanted more of her. And then the other one is this time there are no interviews, which it's kind of clever. Reference
to the previous movie.
Yeah.
Tied to, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mention. So the director is Michael Reimer. The writers are Anne Rice, who wrote the books, Scott Abbott and Michael Petroni.
Petroni.
I Petroni.
Just a badass name.
That's a badass name. I think that's it, right? Oh, hey Jack,
Yes, Sid.
have
You have
you
my undivided attention. Yes.
do I have you seen Brian recently? Or
Yeah, saw him
oh,
last week.
I asked because he's not here, and he would normally be here for.
He told me, like, hey, you know what? It's not for me.
What?
Yeah, he wasn't feeling the podcast thing. He was part of the American Humane Association. He had like another full-time job that he was doing, so.
I don't believe you.
Well, then don't look at the news.
Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you.
There it is.
I'll tell you what happened.
There it is.
Sid has this power to
I
make you tell the
do.
truth. Brian, after we watched Pet Sematary, he got pretty distraught over how like there was a lot of violence towards pets. Like,
Yeah.
apparently not in real life, thanks to people like Brian being on set to keep that from happening.
Yeah.
But he couldn't take the violence in the movie. So he went up to that road in Maine and he found the pet Samantari. But he was by that time they had got rid of all the trucks. They finally fixed that problem.
Oh,
No more
good.
trucks.
Good.
Now it's just a stampede of dead animals.
Oh
I
my
mean,
God.
he got run over by like a dead cow.
Oh.
There was a couple parrots, a deer, cats, dogs, pretty much anything that would get hit by one of the trucks. A goldfish
Oh.
that came up and hit him in the face
How many people?
just for good measure.
I don't know how many people can say they got gunned down by a ghost goldfish. I mean, maybe that's how Brian would have wanted to go.
Love to death by pets.
Oh
So yeah, unfortunately he didn't make it out of that stampede. So we're gonna bring TC on board. So TC.
Welcome, TC.
Well, hey everybody, I'm TC. I'm here. I like the movie. I haven't really read the book. Well, no, I've read a few books, but just it.
Just a few.
Just a couple books on my shelf, you know, not too many things up there, but yeah, I got a couple of them.
That's good
TC's not
because
short for anything. That's just actually how it's spelled.
it's just
TC.
outspelled.
Well, I imagine
TEECEEE,
My
I'm
parents
guessing.
love me. They named me all good things.
I'm sure they did. Well, welcome, TC.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We're happy to have you. One thing we have to say, we all have to be Anne Rice fans during this episode, just because it's a prerequisite. So
No
I
problem
hope you're
there.
okay
I
with it.
love me what I love me some rice, big old bowls of it. You know, I'll sprinkle a little something
Yep.
else on it. Little meat, little cheese or something, little risotto.
Risotto. You know, my dad used to make rice with like sumac and salt, and he'd heat it up in the microwave and like just a tiny bit of it. It was really good.
Can your
We
dad
should
be
try
my
that with
dad?
rice. Yeah.
I'll ask him, TC.
You got room for one more?
Room for one more, Papa.
I'll bring my own plate. He don't even have to
I'll
worry about it.
Very
ask.
courteous of you.
Show up at the
Well,
door,
thank you,
plate in
TC.
hand, and saying, "I'm here for the Anne Rice. I mean the rice."
I'm here for the Anne Rice, Father. If you like, ooh. Okay, love it. Welcome, TC.
Love the energy that you're bringing.
Yes.
It is chaotic and tangential. Wow. Tangential? That's a hard
That
word.
was so good.
Thanks.
I'm digging.
Thank you
I'm
so
picking up what you're putting down.
much. Picking up
Just love
something.
that Q-U-E-E-N and the damned. Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go, baby. Well, to kick us off, speaking of Rice, Anne Rice considers this movie a great disappointment and says that it mutilated her work because she's a drama queen. I'll rest in peace, Anne Rice.
Well,
Well, how are we supposed to be looking up towards her now after she said that about our favorite movie?
famously, our favorite movie.
I mean, vampires traditionally mutilate things already, so like, you know, takes one to know one, I guess.
Yeah, Anne. What the fuck? Again, rest in peace, Anne Rice.
Rip
Yeah.
Rice.
What a steak
Oh
dinner.
no, not Rip Rice. Stupid.
Wow.
I'm gonna start the show. Well, anyways. open on a on a mausoleum with orchestral music playing in the background. We see a very pretty female royal statue. It's in marble. And then we get the title screen, Coin of the Diamond.
The Diamond.
And then there is a voiceover telling us that the idea of being immortal overwhelms a vampire at some point in their life. And this is the voice of Lestat. It's spelled out like DeLion Court, which is definitely not how you say it. Lestat, DeLion Court.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
I'm really good at this. And he's played by Stuart Townsend. He does a good job. He's very moody and broody.
He's very moody.
I mean, but like, if you saw Interview with a Vampire where Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt are playing it and they just kind of flounce at each other and are very fussy and moody and in love for a while, like, he got the vibes.
Okay, I trust that.
It's a good time. So then he says, like, basically, being immortal sucks, so I went to sleep for a while. Fair enough.
And he was tired.
Yeah. He was tired. He's like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to go sleep. But then there is a band that starts playing that he like wakes up. And he's like, oh, is this my new life? Am I going to be a rock star?
Because that's quite the compliment. Like your music was so good that a vampire woke up.
It woke up a vampire,
and
right?
Took interest to it, too. It didn't like piss him off. Keep it down.
Shut the fuck up. Trying to sleep.
I'm just trying to get my eternal rest over here.
Have you seen the bags under my eyes?
Anyway. Oh my God, they're so pale.
He's so pale. So he walks through the cemetery with his violin, which we will learn the backstory of later. And Lestat has decided to become a rock god. That is his new 2025 life ambition. Like, you know what? Everyone needs goals. That's fine.
Don't you think he's a bit old?
To
be changing his career path? What the hell are you doing, Lestat?
I mean, he did become a vampire in 1778. But they also say it's never too old to start something new, Jack. Why you got to age shame?
Yeah, you're right. I can't wait till I'm 1,000.
You're going to be even crankier.
I'll have no friends in the cranky club because they will shun me.
It's just going to be Jack by himself, Crapgy.
That's probably pretty accurate. Right?
Like, Jack, come join our vampire crew. Jack's like, fuck off. Don't talk to me.
Club, I don't want to join no club.
Leave me alone.
My obligations.
What were you going to say, Jack, before I interrupted you?
I was just
going
to say the music at the beginning was boring. I'm sorry.
Orchestra.
I'm sorry. It doesn't set you up for what's happening in this movie, which is very little orchestral music.
It is like more traditional gothic vampire-y music. That's true. It does not prepare you for what the rest of the soundtrack's going to sound like.
No, it's kind of a false setup there, but I just want to comment. Like, this music that starts playing is like, okay, this is pretty interesting. I was like, catching my attention. The snare. The drum, the snare drum, one of the best sounding snare drums I've ever heard.
Oh, okay.
That's all I got to say about that. It's nice and crisp. You can hear it. It's really, really detailed. I love it. I love the sound of it. Okay. I actually like the drumming of this band. I like the drumming of this, the sound that they have here. The rest of the stuff,
Okay. Well, so I'll have to go back and like listen to the first 10 minutes and be like, oh, there's the drum.
Yeah, they have like an instrumental goth, or not goth, instrumental song. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, they do.
It really sets the movie up a little bit there.
It does. Well, so like Jack pointed out, our next scene is Lestat crashing band practice, which is fucking rude.
He's such a douchebag. You don't do this to someone.
I know. I was like, that feels incorrect.
And okay, this is how he disrupts their practice. They're just jamming along. And then he's like laying on the amps and he's like, oh, and he does like this like multi-harmony thing with his voice. And they're just like, what? And like kind of stop playing one by one. Like, what the fuck? Wow. That's not how I would be acting. Like, what are you doing in my like garage house thing?
Jack is going to be in his own vampire band alone. He's like, get the fuck out.
Just solo singer, songwriter.
Yeah, It's the next phase. Well, okay. So like Jack says, we meet the band who is not annoyed with Lestat. They're impressed. No. So we meet Alex, who is played by Robert Farnham. James, who is played by Jonathan Devi. TC, who is played by Conrad Standish. And Maudie, who is played by Megan Cooper. What a fucking name, Maudie.
Maudie.
TC, yeah. That sounds like my name, but I bet it stands for something stupid like Tough Cookie or something.
Something dumb something like really that. Dumb.
His parents probably hated him. Tough Cookie.
Probably.
I really like Tough Cookie. I like that name.
It's fucking stupid. It's better than Soft Cookie. I don't know.
It's better. Oh, wow. Yes.
Name Thank your you, kids Sid. After yes. something you love. Tough Cookies.
Tough Cookies. A stale cookie over there.
Well, it's better than your 900-year-old grandma, Maudie. Naming your grandchild, Maudie. It's like, what? That's a name.
Yeah. That was a dumb name. I thought this band was going to, like, come back and be more important than they are, which is why I wrote them all down. But they're there for, like, a blip.
The intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he tells, which I thought he was going to be more coy, but like I said, Lestat has Leo energy. So he's just like, hey, everybody, I'm a vampire. Like, you want me in your band. I'm cool. And then he does, like, a few little vampire tricks. And they're like, oh, shit. Yeah, for sure. Join our band. No self-preservation.
They kind of say, like, are you going to hurt us? And he's like, no, why would I do that? I want to use you to get fame. It's like, what is this guy? Like, he's so, like, bombastic. It's ridiculous. And he just, like, thinks that he's going to make it. I want to see the alternate version of this. Yeah, I know he does. But I want to see the alternate version where, like, they're grinding for 1,000 years and can't make it.
He's just playing in a Walmart parking lot. He's like, God damn it.
The next 100 years are going to be the best ones.
I would watch that movie, though.
Yeah. Let me ask you. I want to get this straight right at the beginning.
Okay.
Do you have a Billy in this movie?
I do, but it's not who you think.
Okay. Because I thought it was who I thought it was going to be, but I guess it's not who I'm thinking.
Who? You fucking think it was gonna be?
I thought it was Lestat.
No. I do like Lestat, but I like him in the show. Interview with a Vampire TV show. Very good. You should watch that one.
I'll get right on it.
You won't. It's fine. Audience should watch it, though. But no, Lestat is not my Billy.
Okay. And we're gonna get to that person?
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. Then, you know, I guess Jack is reaching into the past and trying to see patterns that aren't there. You know, it's okay.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's just not who you thought it was.
He was a bad boy, though. You know, your favorite. Yeah.
It is my favorite. He's a little too... Oh, God. I was about to say vampy, which is... Pardon the fucking pun. He's a little too... I need all the attention and energy, and I can't vibe with that.
It's very annoying. Like, and no offense, people out there, but he picked the right... spot in a band, a vocalist. The next best option would have been a guitarist. The best option would have been a singing guitarist, but I digress. And I will get tomatoes thrown at my face.
I think if I were in a band, I would be the lead singer. I do like the attention, that which is why sense. I wouldn't work with Lestat. We can't both be the diva.
You could be co-singers. There's no
lead hell singer. No. I got in a fight one time with a partner because we were singing Christmas songs and he kept trying to sing my note and he thought I was kidding when I was like, don't sing my note. And he thought I was joking and we got in a knockdown, drag out fight. I was like, that is my note.
You got to share the note, Sid.
I absolutely do not have to share the note.
Okay. You are Lestat. You are Lestat. Of this group? Yeah. I know TC is TC, so.
TC's chill as fuck.
Just rocking out on the bass, you know, just getting my booty bumping.
Mm-hmm. What would you play, Jack? If TC's going to play the bass, what are you playing?
Oh, man. Well.
That's all right. Like, you can have the bass. I'll bang some drums.
That's looking like bongos or like.
Okay, you can play the bongos.
Just want to keep it chill. Yeah.
I don't.
Do we need a triangle in a metal band?
You know? I'd be down with that. Or we could get like an electric violin, like Ocean Avenue.
I can't play violin.
Well, can you play piano?
Sure, I can hit some keys.
Can hit
Twinkle
Jack.
The ivories.
You can hit Jack? What?
What?
Okay. I don't think I'm making this man. Shit.
Jack, I wouldn't form a vampire band without you. Don't be silly.
Do I have to be turned into one to
no.
join? Perfect.
No, we can be vampire hunters if you really want to. Although I will warn you, I'll probably date some problematic vampires along the line. Just, it's fine. I know. I know, buddy.
And they're going to break out the band. Yeah, no, I got it.
Just bring garlic and remind me when I'm doing too much and then stay out of striking range. It's very easy to deal with me.
Yeah, I do all those right now and I feel like it's not helping.
Oh, someday. It's fine. Where was I?
We got derailed. So we got to the introduction of the band.
Yes. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay. So then we get a song that's playing. Like, basically, they're kind of doing a band song, like, while we get the actors' names mm-hmm. on screen, which is kind of an interesting way to do it. And this is where, I think, Jack, you already knew this, but this is where the forest showed me the fact that Lestat's singing voice is Jonathan Davis from the band Korn.
It is. And it's, yeah, I heard it, and I didn't know that, and I'm like, that's Korn. Is Korn the band that's playing all these? So, yeah, it was weird, because, like I said, I used to listen to them. Quite a bit. So I definitely recognize that. But it is so weird hearing his voice come out of that dude, out of the Stuart Townsend.
Stuart Townsend.
Just doesn't match, you know. Like no, pretty like boy with a grovelly voice, you know.
It matched the vibe of like the movie, but yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I liked it. I didn't really listen to Korn, but I liked it. I was like, oh, maybe I should check out some Korn now.
He did a good job. The actor did a good job of acting. You know, imitating, giving, like actually doing a vocal performance. Like it was pretty good.
Yeah, like lip syncing. You know, I wonder when they have to do stuff like that, if they just like actually sing it so that it feels more authentic when they put in someone else's voice so it looks like they're singing it.
Probably, yeah.
I would.
So. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it was very, very surprising.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I knew you would catch that, but I wrote it down anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So the band becomes incredibly famous, unlike Jack hoped.
Yep.
So are they called the Vampire Lestat? I don't think I actually caught the name of the band because they're holding up different signs.
That's a good question because all this turns out to be is just
a panel interview.
Well, and it's just you could like immediately find out like Lestat is the reason people like this band. They don't care about anyone else pretty much in the band.
Yeah. So they're in London. And they're doing a panel interview. They're just asking questions. And then Lestat, because he's a drama queen, doesn't appear in person. He is in a back room and he's just got a bunch of cameras hooked up. So he like appears on this big screen and it's very theatrical and very him. And I wrote this down, even though it doesn't end up being anything. But a French journalist played by Joe Buckley asks Lestat to prove that he's a vampire. And he's like, why don't I come to your hotel room later and give you a private demonstration?
What so the fuck? Stupid. It's very stupid.
Made me laugh. So the point of this whole interview is basically for Lestat to put out a challenge to other vampires. He's like, it's time for other vampires to come out. Like, we shouldn't be living in the shadows. Come out wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come find me, basically. It's a challenge.
Yeah. Which is, I was like, okay. So I thought this was like, calling all arms and they're going to like start a war with the humans or something like that.
Yeah.
Later find out that that's not the case, but.
That is not what happens.
I just want to point out how incredibly bad the actors of the band is.
Okay.
They're so bad. And like the stupid question, they're doing like that, like you said, like a press interview.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, one of them's like, what do you do this for? And then they're like, the lady, Maudie.
Maudie. Like,
sex, blood, and rock and roll.
That's so dumb.
Stupid.
That's so dumb. Maudie, shut up. So, yeah, and then we just pan over to him and his little doofy recording studio. And then our next scene is Glastonbury, West England, the countryside at night.
Oh, I'm sorry. They also announced they're playing a show.
Oh, yes.
In Death Valley.
Yeah, Death Valley, California.
One show. That's it.
The biggest show.
It's so dumb that it's just like, yeah, we're not going to tour. And I think he even said, like, oh, I don't like repeating myself in reference to touring. It's like, okay, that was a good line, but yeah, I still hate you.
I have a feeling, Jack, if you were in the band with Lestat, you would get in a fight and then quit.
Like right before they break big.
You're like,
get myself kicked out of the
fine.
band. Yeah,
damn it.
we don't need a triangle anyway.
No, my triangle.
My triangle goes like that.
So musical.
Yeah.
So in Glastonbury, West England, we meet Roger, who is played by Tyrael Mora, and he is leading two women to, we find out this is like Lestat's house in England, because Lestat has a bunch of houses. And he's leading two women who are just both named London Groupie. So London Groupie 1 is Nicole Fantel, and London Groupie 2 is Alyssa McClelland. And I hope they got more work than just London Groupie.
Yeah.
We quickly find like Roger just kind of does some scouting for Lestat, like bringing ladies, hot ladies back to the house so he can feed on them, basically. He appears, Roger fucks off. The girls and Lestat flirt a little bit, and then he like crawls up on the ceiling and they start screaming. And I'm like, why are they always surprised? They were surprised in What We Do in the Shadows too.
They
What?
even said when they're getting led to his room, they're like, "Oh my God, I heard you have to like get bit to like be close to him." And the other one's like, "Oh, I would love to do that." It's like, "Well, here's your chance."
Right, like I understand he didn't sexually lean over and like chomp chomp on your neck. He crawled up onto the ceiling and then dropped on you. That's not as exciting, but
Like a freakazoid.
it was weird.
It was weird.
They're crawling around on the floor and then he crawls up the ceiling. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, there's many times in my notes where I'm like, this is dumb. Like, this is a dumb scene. Like, why are we doing this?
I wonder if it was supposed to represent that like he doesn't respect humans or something like that. I don't know, but because they like try to get his pants off and he's like, ew, gross, don't touch me.
Most of the time he's kind of like jokingly coy, but when they say like, "Hey, what about your pants?" and he's like, he like gets really defensive
He's
and
very not into it.
yeah.
Okay, which is fine, that's fine, consent is key. Although there wasn't too much consent when he dropped on the ceiling and ate them, but whatever.
Yeah.
Just as a little side tidbit, I know this is the not the perfect podcast for him, but Nicole Fantel, she was a bit of a voice actress for a time. She played
Really?
Freyan in Final Fantasy XII, the tall-eared bunny girl.
Really? Oh, good for
Yeah.
her.
So connecting some childhood memories for someone out there.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. Good for you, Nicole. Hell yeah. Alyssa, get your shit together.
Oh my God. How can you say that to the London groupie too?
London Groupie 2, no. Sorry, Alyssa. I'm sure you're doing great. So, our next scene, he has just wandered outside and he's calling his friends. So he's just calling out, like, come out, wherever you are again. And then we meet Jesse. Like, it just boop pops over to Jesse, who's doing a little voiceover. It's a woman laying in a bed, and the voiceover is saying, I hear a strange voice calling out to me in my dreams, the same voice I've been hearing since I was six. This gets confusing. So this is Jessie Reeves, and
Yes.
she's played by Marguerite Moreau. And we follow her into her dreams, but now it's her as a child. And young Jessie is played by, okay, I thought it was Rachel. It's spelled like Michael, but with an R, so Reichel Tanner.
Ugh,
Okay.
I don't
All
like
right. I was like, that's a choice.
that.
And this got confusing because it's not, I wrote down castle, but it's not really a castle. It's more like a big stone courtyard with like big columns and stuff. It's very open air. I don't,
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to describe.
it's like the set on Kill Bill when they do the whole big fight thing.
Kinda,
Poor
yeah.
guy.
I mean, but kinda, but
Yeah.
you don't really get a lot of context. You just, there's a woman telling her, you can't stay here. And she's like, but I want to stay with you. And she's like, this isn't the life for you. And this doesn't get explained until the end of the movie.
No.
So I didn't write the actress's name down until the end of the movie because I thought she wasn't going to come back.
Kind of hoping.
Oh, wow. Tough cookies. So adult Jesse wakes up.
You just make fun of TC in front of his face?
TC, the character? That's not
Have
what
cookies?
RTC, it doesn't stand for that for
Oh,
RCC.
okay. I'm sorry.
Different names. You can't make fun of me because I'm full of fun facts. Like
That's
Marguerite
right.
Moreau was the girl on Mighty Ducks.
Really?
Yeah, she's the female hockey player, the little kid.
Holy shit, I did not know that.
I'm connecting all your childhood memories.
You
Oh my God,
are
TC's
TC
in
coming
there,
in with facts. Thanks,
rewiring my brain.
TC.
Yeah.
Quack, quack, quack. I mean,
Quack,
bite, suck blood, bite, yeah.
chomp. Same vibes.
So this is like the part where this is what I'm talking about, is boring. Is basically all of Jesse's like backstory and all this crap. I don't care. I don't care.
I famously root for the ladies, and I wanted to like her so bad. And my God, did her character drive me crazy. I'm sure she's great in real life, but the character of Jesse was so obnoxious.
Yeah.
So she wakes up. She's making coffee and she's studying. And while she's studying, MTV News is on in the background, which was kind of fun. Another throwback. And they're talking about Lestat, like, oh, here's his new like song off his new soundtrack. And he's going to be, or not soundtrack, I'm sorry, album. He's going to be playing in Death Valley. So she sits down to watch his music video. And then we go to the next scene. And it's like, this movie does a lot of like, here's a scene, but we're not going to tell you why it's important. What is happening?
No, yeah, the song starts playing, she kind of starts tapping along. So we're getting shown that she's like interested in the song or whatever. And then she like sits down to watch the music video, and I guess like it's the lyrics that she's listening to, because she, like, as soon as she starts singing, that's when she kind of goes and sits down and actually pays full attention to it.
So dumb. So now we're at Talamasca Center for Paranormal Studies in London.
I missed all of that. Wow. I was like, who are these groups of, who's this group of idiots? I completely missed that. Oh God.
I got you, buddy.
Thank you.
So Jesse is giving a presentation to the board, which I didn't write them down because they're on for like a blip.
Very good.
And she's saying, oh, I thought Lestat was a joke until he cites a passage in his song that rang a bell for her. And I wrote the passage down because I'm extra. And so the passage is, take a walk down the aisle at the end of the mile, give your life to my charms in the Admiral Arms. And apparently, this was a late 1600s. There was a pub in London at the end of the mile called the Admiral's Arms. So she's like, so shit, it's real. And that's why I think Lestat is back. And he's got a reputation for black magic, or the bar has a reputation for black magic. And she thinks it's a vampire coven. Bitch, that is all your evidence? You heard a song and found out there was a bar with the same name? That's it? Okay,
Right.
master researcher. Anyway, sorry.
But it raises alarms. Everyone's like, oh, God, oh,
I know, and they take her seriously, and I'm like, you would be laughed the fuck out of any whatever, whatever. It's fine.
They kind of reprimand her for being careless. She's, I guess
Yeah.
we're led to believe she's like a new initiate to this place or whatever. So,
She's still an apprentice.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So yeah, like Jack said, the board scolds her, and then David Talbot walks in and pulls her into his office, and he's played by Paul McGann. And he's like, babe, we already know about Lestat. Like, this is
Old
nothing
news.
new. Old news, babe. Stop. So he shows her a painting, different paintings, each of the same person who is Marius, who we'll meet in a minute. And he says, this is the original vampire who was Lestat's master. Again, I don't know how David knows this.
I don't either.
Well, he says he found it out in Lestat's journal, but like, how did you get his journal? Where you're just like, ooh, look what I found. Like, what? There's so much that they don't explain. And maybe they go into it in the book and they just cut it out for time. That's highly possible, but
Probably, yeah.
if you haven't read the books, it's confusing. So he gives her the journal. Again, she's an apprentice. Like, I get that she's young and cute and hot, but like, why
Well,
is she?
that's why.
Right, that is the only reason. Like, why is everyone treating her like she is just boom on it? I'm like, you don't provide anything.
Yeah, because the professor guy is like, now, Jesse, if I give you this journal, you promise me you're not going to go down to that club, are you? You're not going to go down there, are you? And she's like, And it doesn't even say, show her saying yes. It just cuts away to her having the journal. It's like, well,
It's so
she got it.
dumb. Oh, God. So she starts reading. And I liked this part. I thought it was interesting because it takes us back in time and we get to find out how Lestat became Lestat.
Backstory, yeah, finally.
So in the winter of 1788, Lestat was brought to a Mediterranean island by the man who made him. So it's like this really pretty castle on an island. And Lestat wakes up. And it looks like he got painted by Marius. So I don't know if he got lured there because he was higher up in the class system. And Marius is like, oh, I'm a painter. Like, let me paint your portrait.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then Marius enters. So Marius de Romanis is played by Vincent Perez. And he enters the room. And because I thought Lestat was already turned. But then Marius, like, pounces on him and, like, starts chomping his neck. And then opens his wrist, has Lestat drink some blood, and now Lestat's a vampire. Ta-da!
Yeah, instead of killing him, he turns him in. And he's kind of whispering this stuff like, oh, you were the one, I chose you. And like, so there, yeah. I don't know what the backstory is here, how why he chose him, but he does. Turns into a vampire. And I do want to say, like you were saying, I thought he, when he was in the bed, he was a vampire already, because he was so pale. Like, they like put the magic, they put the makeup on him before he turned, and like, we'll just keep in
that. Ta-da!
It's like less work.
Like, maybe Marius drugged him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So basically, because Marius is Lestat's maker, he kind of teaches him how to be a vampire, teaches him how to feed. He says, never take the last drop of your prey or it will kill you. And then Marius...
Some of these vampire rules I never learn about until we're in the weeds in the movie, you know?
Vampire rules. I don't know what that was.
Uno. Are you going to list them off? Or?
No, I did not, in fact, write them down.
Never feed a vampire after midnight. Oh, wait. No, don't that's gremlins.
Don't get them wet, either.
That's right.
Spray lights! So, Marius tells Lestat that vampire life is one of discretion. He says he can't be known or loved unless he is willing to kill the person.
Yeah, so, and so Lestat, like, looks, notices as they're leaving. He was like, oh, there's, like, this chick playing the violin, and she's really good. Yeah. And there's this other guy sitting there playing something, too. And he's like, I want to go join them and hang out. And that's when, yeah.
That's when he gets his first lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. And we learn what kind of person he is, even before being a vampire. Like you said, a Leo or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, he likes attention.
Yes. Yes, he does.
The violin player, like Jack said, is played by Mandy Vieira. And he's just listed as Greek father, but the guy sitting with her playing an instrument too is Fuad Haraka. I hope I said that right. Mm. So Lestat, like Jack said, needs attention, and he joins them with his violin. And he starts, at first he's just playing along and they're all having fun. And then he starts playing at an inhuman speed. And then his eyes flash gold, and the dad's essentially telling his daughter, like, run, that's a fucking vampire. Like, book it. That's verbatim what he's...
That motherfucker can shred, run!
Oh, run! So, Marius shows up. He, like, chompy chomps the dad and tells Lestat, hey, go kill that girl. Like, she can't tell people that we're vampires. So Lestat, like, just runs up and snaps her neck.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right.
Romantic.
Romantic. And then Marius burns the bodies. And then Lestat's all moody and just plays his violin for days.
Well, we get the... From this context, he doesn't want to kill these people just because, or he doesn't want, he wants to be known. So that's his main thing, and doesn't want to be hidden away from everyone. That's going to be lonely for him. But he doesn't, I think he like the girl that he killed. So he didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So he has like a bit of a human side, or as Mario says, his human side is still kind of present.
Yeah, that's true. He kind of says it like it's a deficiency, like, oh, you've still got some human emotions, but don't worry, those will go away.
Right.
So it's like something to be ashamed of. But yeah, that's a good point. He did, like Jack said, think the girl was pretty, and I think he probably would have, like, hooked up with her.
Yeah.
Instead, she's dead.
Right.
So he's being moody again, and then he, like, accidentally flings his violin bow back behind him. And, like, it lands on an entrance to a secret passageway.
Dominion.
I know. I was like, oh, okay. And he goes down this corridor. And I liked that, like, every step he takes, like, a column of flame shoots up and just kind of lights the way. It's very dramatic. I liked it. And then he enters this big throne room. So there's, like, a stone pathway. There's water on each side. And there's two marble statues. And it's clearly royalty. So it's a king and a queen just kind of sitting there.
Lestat's like, this is my vibe.
Yes, Lestat's very into it. So he hears a voice calling to him. It's like a woman's voice, but he doesn't know who it is. But he's like, oh, you want me to play for you? So he starts playing the violin. And his playing is so good that it wakes up the queen just enough.
Wow.
He's that good. She's like, does she tell him to? No, she turns her hand up. So he sees that, and it's an invitation to, like, bite her wrist and drink her blood.
Yeah, because it's weird because the hand, she's still stone, but he can look at the wrist and see, like, veins. So he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, which I thought this part was kind of cool. He bites her wrist. He starts drinking her blood, and he has a vision, and he hears her voice in his head, and he's like, people screaming, and we see a little bit of her. And this is Queen Akasha. This is played by Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. And we'll learn more about her later, but that's her first appearance. And then he just passes out on the ground with blood on his face, and Marius finds him, and he's like, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah, Marius was, like, painting.
Yeah.
Funny that these guys, like, are taking up, like, human interests, like music and art.
Yeah.
Vampires.
Vampires
are into the arts. Develop your own thing. I don't know.
I mean, at least they're not, like, crypto bros. They're into the arts.
Oh, God, the ultimate vampires of the world. Sucking the blood out of everyone.
Like, no. Let me tell you about this crypto painting I found.
I'm here to promote a new coin. It's called Dracula Coin. Yeah, I don't know. It's a funny, like, thing where, I guess, mm-hmm. 1,000 years, you need something to do. So you pick up, like, a human hobby or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Something to, like, keep your mind occupied. So Marius has chained up Lestat. Like, Lestat wakes up with, like, he's chained to the bed, and he just wants more of this blood. And yeah. Marius is like, no, you just drank the purest blood ever, the oldest blood, and it's way too much for someone who's, like, a new vampire. It's way too much for you. And then this is where we learn a little bit about her. Marius tells Lestat that this is Queen Akasha, the mother and queen of all vampires. And again, she's played by Aaliyah. And Uncle, Enkil, Uncle? Doesn't matter. He was her king, and they almost killed everybody back in the day. So he's like, oh, they almost drank the world dry, which was a great way to say that.
It was, yeah.
And then they ruled over Egypt until he lost his will. He lost his will to drink, which essentially just means he lost his will to live.
You got tired of sucking.
Basically, he's like, you know what? Immortality sucks. So he died. And then when he died, she's like, you know what? Immortality does suck. Goodbye. So they both died. Kind of romantic.
Wow, Sid, that was amazing.
Kind of.
Yes.
So they both turn into marble statues. But she is different because she likes both human blood and immortal blood. So she will attack vampires, which they don't usually do. So
right.
She's a baddie, but not in a good way.
I like that about her, though. You can't trust her. She's chaotic.
Yes, she's very chaotic. So Lestat tells Marius that Akasha chose him. Then Marius is like, bitch, I chose you. And then Marius just leaves.
For how long? I don't know.
Right. Because Lestat wakes up and there's no, like, he's not chained up anymore, but all of Marius's things are gone, including the statues. So I don't know if he passed out from, like, being too hungry and then woke up.
Had, like, a pure blood hangover or something?
Mm-hmm. Something. So back to Jesse.
Why? Why do we have to go back to her?
Back to Jesse. So the next scene, Jesse has decided to go to the Admiral Arms, that pub in London that she's convinced is a vampire coven, which, I mean, it is a vampire coven.
Yeah.
So she sneaks in. The vampires are hanging out with the mortals, and it's kind of like a sex club vibes. Like, the mortals are hanging out, and the vampires are just, like, looking at them, like, ooh, we're going to get down to it. I'm going to, like, suck your blood later. But mm-hmm. everyone's, like, willing about it. It's consensual.
Which is what's interesting. There's a lot of people walking around with holes in their necks, but they don't seem distraught. They seem in heaven, to be honest. Or they're very, very, yeah. very much want to be there.
Well, a lot of, like, the vampire stories are written, like, the bite is supposed to feel really good until it kills you. So I wonder if they, like, bite, drink their blood, to just enough where it won't kill that person, and then they kind of let them heal, and then they come back. Same, you know what I mean? Kind of like a drug. So Jesse just, I think the thing I don't like about Jesse is like this story has nothing to do with her and she keeps inserting herself in it. I mean,
yes,
you could make the argument because of her aunt, and which comes back later, that it has something to do, but that's like the last 5 minutes. Up until then, you're like, bitch, no one asked you. Like, you invited yourself to this party. Go home.
I don't know. Maybe she has some kind of subconscious attraction to the vampire thing because of, like, that's her heritage or something. But that is not explained.
Yeah.
Until, like, maybe, like, it's maybe implied at the very end. Like, we don't get much.
They both need so much attention. So.
She's got a Leo rise inside.
She definitely does. So. Jesse is just kind of walking around, like, seeing all these vampires and mortals basically, like, hooking up. And she's a little freaked out, which is fair.
Excuse me. Sid?
Yes?
I'm going to have a word with you. Jesse goes into this bar knowing what the bar is and is freaked out.
Yes.
It's like, what is fucking wrong with you? Why did you go to the bar? Why did you sneak in? You know what goes on in here, and she's freaked out by the blood and stuff. Like, I hate Jesse.
She's a lot. Well, it's just like those groupies who are like, oh my god, he's really a vampire. Like, baby, what did you think? Yeah, it's the same vibe.
Yes.
Dummy.
But she like studies this stuff academically and knows this stuff.
She's acting like she's brand new. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't like her. She does not need to be in the movie.
Same. She's kind of annoying. So she goes to the bar and a trio of vampires. She's like, okay, I'm sorry. She's like the, in every YA fantasy, how the character describes himself is like, I know I'm not beautiful. And it's, but she was the most beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, I'm really bad at stuff. She was the most skilled swordsman in the land. And every guy wants to fuck her. And you're like, okay, can we not? But that's what it is.
Sid, are you writing a book here pretty soon?
So much. Oh, it's too much.
I agree, though. Like, everything is a hidden power they find within themselves, even their looks, which is really weird.
She's just the smartest and the most clever and the funniest, and she's so daring. Ugh. Okay, Jesse, whatever. So she goes to the bar, and a trio of vampires kind of hit on her, and she's like, oh, I'm taken, like, sorry. And they're like, so? And she's like, oh, well, you wouldn't say that if you know who my host was. And they're like, oh, well, who's your host? And she says, Marius, like, you fucking idiot. You couldn't have researched a younger vampire because Marius has been around since the 1700s. He's not hanging out at this dive ass bar in the 2000s, babe.
Yeah. And they're even like, he's one of the ancient ones. Right. They don't even exist anymore or something like that.
Fucking idiot. So, you know, Lestat's hiding in the shadows and he hears her and he's like, oh, my God, I'm so intrigued right now. They deserve each other. So she goes outside because she's like, I better go. Like, these vampires are onto me. This could get bad for me, which is smart. And then they accost her outside. And, oh, I wrote them down. They're all, it's Club Vampire. That's their character name for all three of them. So we have Taylor Kane, Imogen Ansley, and Daniel Schlusher. Schlusher?
Schlusher.
Sorry.
He was in that bar too long.
Slusher? Sorry, Daniel. Anyways. And then they, like, attack her. And this felt vaguely like a sexual assault. Like, it was uncomfy to watch.
Vaguely?
Yeah, I did not like the scene.
No, it was not good. Yeah. It was not great.
But Lestat saves her because, of course, he does. Because she's so different. Mm.
And he's so brooding.
Mm. So...
shot.
So he pops up, he saves her, the other three fuck off, and he helps her up and he tells her to be more careful. Then she's like, oh, thank you for saving me. And he's like, that's presumptuous of you. And then they have like this weird I'm cooler than you back and forth for like a while, and it's supposed to be sexy, but it's just kind of annoying.
But really, it's Lestat is the cool one because he's walking circles around her as he's giving this speech. That's the cool guy right there. That's a cool guy move.
He could also like murder her a lot easier than she could murder him.
Yeah, I don't understand her, like, I'm trying to be just as mysterious as you, so you like me type of thing.
It's
like,
what? So pick me. It's so extra. It was obnoxious. So She, yeah, like Jack said, she's trying to be coy and clever. And he's like, so how do you know about Marius? Although he doesn't say it like that. Yeah. He says, how do you know about Marius? He's backing her up into a wall. And he like pushes her hand up against some broken glass and then starts sucking her finger. And she's like kind of into it.
This was so stupid. Little fucking vampire foreplay. God.
Well, you know what the worst thing is? I probably would have been into this when this came out. And now I'm just like, this is so... Okay. It was a time. So, yeah, he pushes her up in a wall. And then he's, like, asking her... She's like, oh, we have your journal. And he's like, oh, you're a clever librarian. And I was so mad because I'm like, oh, God damn it. I like that line, but I don't want to hear it from you.
And who it's directed at?
Yeah, and who it's directed at? I'm like, no, she's not.
She's an apprentice.
She didn't even go to grad school. She's not a librarian.
Oh my God, offended about the librarian line. I mean, I was offended about a lot of this movie.
Such a stupid thing to get mad about. But it bothered me. Anyways. So then he's like, oh, was my journal a good read? And it's more back and forth. And then she asks him if he still has the violin, and she's like, don't worry, it's okay, you still have some human tendencies. And he flies at her to scare her, and it's so much, it's so much. So then he goes back to his place, and he like broods around his room with the big old fireplace, and he shows the violin, and he's like, clever librarian. I'm like, God damn it.
It happened again.
So stupid. She's not a librarian, God. Anyways, so this next scene, like, again, furthering that she's just extra and needs to insert herself in the plot that nobody asked her to insert herself in. Because Jesse calls David from the airport because she's flying from London to Los Angeles because she's going to go to that concert. And David.
Expensive,
right? Like, babe, who is paying you? Better not be the company.
Right? I don't think it is.
David's like, not on the company credit card. No.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think. David is against everything that Jesse is doing. He's
David's smart.
He's smart, but he's not doing... I mean, I don't know how much more he could do, but he's like, now I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And she's like, yeah, fuck you. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, so, well, that's true. So David tells her basically that this is a dumb idea because Lestat has issued a challenge to all vampires. Like, the vampires are going to be at this concert trying to kill him. He's like, you're putting yourself in harm's way. You're too close. You can't be objective about this. And she's like, no, you don't get it. Like, I talked to him. Like, he understands. Like, we have a connection. It'll be fine.
Oh, Jesus.
And David's like, you're dumb.
She's very dumb.
It feels like a mix of someone needing to insert themselves and be the main character, which is obnoxious. But it also feels like someone trying to save someone else from a abusive relationship. Where she's like, don't worry about me. And he's like, this is not safe. She's like, I'm fine. He loves me. He didn't mean to hit me. What?
He didn't mean to come at me, bro.
He didn't mean to suck my finger.
He didn't mean to impale my finger on some glass, which could have given me an infection and suck on it.
David, he called me a clever librarian twice. He loves me.
David's like, oh, God, I want to be called that.
David's like,
God, well, damn it.
No one calls me that. Poor David. So then we go to Lestat's house, which in LA. And I did like this scene because he's just kind of vibing in his coffin, listening to music on his headphones. And I was like,
okay. So funny.
Okay, that's funny.
I just put, oh, cute. Lestat's just chilling in his coffin, listening to Godsmack.
It just made me laugh. Yeah, so then something stirs him, and then he gets out of his coffin, and Marius is in his living room because, ta-da! And they have a little back and forth, but I did write some of it down because I thought it was funny. Because Lestat essentially tells Marius, like, hey, your outfit's old and stupid, like, get with the times. And then he says, how did you manage to slip through the 50s in red velvet? And Marius is like, I slept. Lestat's just like, well, you didn't miss much, just Elvis.
Yeah, they reference Elvis, which is
was funny.
Pretty funny.
And then I just wrote down that Lestat asks Marius, like, why now? I haven't heard from you in 200 years. And Marius is like, well, you're being a fucking idiot. Like, we're supposed to hide in the shadows, and you just called everyone to you. And then they just have a petty off. Like, they're just petty at each other for a while. It doesn't go anywhere.
The petty escalator. And then, I mean, we just had the same thing with the, I'm mysterious. Mm-hmm. I'm more mysterious between Lestat and Jesse. So it's Lestat is this is completely his personality. It's like, I'm just going to be whatever the other person thinks they are. I'm just going to one up them because I'm Leo energy.
Leo energy, baby. Yes. But at least Marius has the, like, he can back it up. That's the thing I don't like about Jesse when she's talking all this. It was like, shut the fuck up. No one's taking you seriously. But at least with Marius, you're like, well, he did kill people. He is a vampire. Okay.
He's got a point.
Fine. He's got a point. It's fine.
He's got 2 points in his mouth.
Gang, gang. Chomp, chomp. That's what vampires say before chomp, they chomp. Eat you, right? Chomp, chomp.
No, not the chomp, chomp.
Not the chomp, chomp. No. That's what I would say if I was a vampire. Chomp, chomp.
Oh, my God. It's Sid, the vampire.
Me, chomp, chomp. Stupid. So anyway.
You're the jaws of vampires.
I was walking late one night in the catacombs, and I heard softly whispering, chomp, chomp.
I would totally haunt the shit out of the catacombs. Hell yeah. Chomp, chomp. And then I would break into, like, perfume stores at night so I can still smell pretty as a vampire. It's important.
Chomp, chomp, sniff.
Chomp, 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 chomp. Where was I?
So, he, and, you know, this whole point is Marius is confronting him about being so public. He keeps harping on the, like, oh, you're being so public, and the vampire's coming after you now. You're, like, you're testing him.
Yeah, right. Thank you. So Lestat basically takes Marius out on the town after that, and they just sit on this big-ass billboard, which is Lestat's band, and they're just, like, sitting right in front of Lestat's belt. Which...
right in front of his dick, which is very Lestat.
It was so extra. It's like,
it was kind of funny, though. They're just kind of sitting up there, because Lestat's like, you want to see what it's like to be really public?
Yeah.
And that's what they do, is they go sit up at his billboard, which is like, okay.
Ta-da! Yeah.
And I really like their rapport. They're like bickering siblings.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of funny.
They're back and forth, I believe, and that didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
So Marius tells Lestat, basically, like, your music woke up Akasha. Like, get ready. She woke up. She chomped the king. Like, he's dead now. She took his blood and absorbed his power.
Famously chomped.
Chomped the king. So Marius is like, you need to cancel this concert. Like, all the vampires and Akasha are coming for you. This is going to be bad. And Lestat just tells him no. And Marius is like, well, we have a duty to protect the mortals. Lestat's like, fuck you. You're the one that told me not to care about the mortals. And then he leaves.
Okay.
Yep.
So, Jack, now you're going to hear about my belly in the next scene.
Okay.
Yes, girl. So the next scene... we are at the Vampire Club, the Admiral's Arms, back in London. And Queen Akasha is just strolling through. Oh, my God. I needed more of Queen Akasha. Oh, my God. She is the queen of my belly. My God.
She's the queen.
Girl, she sure is. Woo. She's gorgeous.
She's pretty nice looking. Yes.
Yeah, she is my belly. And then, especially after this scene, I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm in love. So the club vampire she's like, oh, you know, Lestat was here, but I can't smell it. Like, it's a faint smell. Like, where is he? And the club vampire is like, oh, he's in California. Like, don't worry about it. We're going to go kill him. And she's like, oh, really? And then she just slinks through the dance club. Y'all can't see it, but I'm doing a little shimmy because I'm cool.
She's walking like an Egyptian. Yeah, she's slinking.
Yeah, I'm currently walking like an Egyptian. Yes. She slinks through and starts dancing, and then she calls the club vampire over, and he's smiling. He's thinking, like, hey, yeah. Because I don't know if they just don't know who she is. They must not, because it's been a long time.
I think they sense something because as she's walking in, like everyone's like turned to look at her, or maybe it's just because she's dressed as a queen instead of
I mean,
in normal
also,
clothing.
like, have you seen her? I would also turn
It's
and look
probably a
at her.
combination of all three. Okay. Okay.
They're like, God damn, who is that? So he starts dancing with her and she kisses him. And then, as she's kissing him, she pulls his heart out of his chest and eats it. Oh my God. It's like, oh, I love you. So then the other vampires start to attack her.
I'm scared.
And she just lights them on fire with her hands casually. And she's smiling the whole time. And I have fallen. I have fallen head over heels in love.
On your knees, Sid.
Oh, for her? Yeah, no problem. So, and then she leaves the Admiral Arms pub, like, and it's on fire because she's lit so many vampires on fire, and she's just smiling and walking out. I'm like, oh, I
And
need more of her.
this is what I like about her character is that she does not care about any. She's very powerful and she has no allies in this up till this point. So that's just
Such a
very
fucking
very
badass.
entertaining to watch. Yes.
Oh, she's such a badass. Very good for her energy. And then our next scene is Lestat just hanging out on a satellite dish in the
Oh,
middle of LA.
I wish I could do that.
It did look kind of cool.
Looks so comfortable.
And then he's talking about how this concert, it kind of feels like a suicide wish because he's like, all these vampires are going to try and come kill me, but I'd rather be dead than live eternity by myself. Like, well, damn. Okay.
Well, Stat is just a moody little bitch. Like
He's very moody.
it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you got tired of living forever, couldn't find another hobby to take on.
So just like chomp chomp some garlic and go to
Just
bed
chomp chomp some
forever.
garlic. Exactly. And take out
Like,
the whole world with you?
why you gotta be so extra about it, bruh?
Man.
So Jessie once again inserts herself and takes a cab and pulls up in front of the concert where a scalper is trying really hard to give her tickets. And she's like, no, I'm good.
And that's Galbert. It's Jonathan Davis from Korn.
Oh, is it good? Because I didn't write that shit down. That's funny.
Yeah, that's why he was so adamant
He's
about
like,
telling
no,
her to.
really, it's me.
You really are you good? But you don't see any like face shot of him, which is weird. It's like all from the back. But yeah, that's the guy that wrote like most of the music for this.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good on you, Jack. So after Jesse escapes the scalper, Roger is there again scouting for chicks for Lestat, and he pulls this one girl and Jesse into the cab.
Of course.
Okay. Jesse's extra. There's a line coming up that I really liked. The groupie is played by Marnie Reese Wilmore. And then so Lestat enters the room while Jesse and groupie, LA groupie, are there. And he recognizes Jesse and she's like, boo. And he's like, boo back. It's so fucking stupid. But they have a little back and forth. And then he's like, it's funny, you don't look like a groupie. You look like a Talamasquian. And the LA groupie goes, oh, I'm Episcopalian, which just fucking, I cracked up. So stupid. I'm Episcopalian.
She's just trying to be part of the conversation.
No, it's just so funny. She cares so much. And it's very sweet, which of course Lestat hates. But so he tells
Yes.
Roger to take the Episcopalian back to church, which also made me laugh. And then they have a back and forth again. And Lestat, this is the other thing. Like by the end, it doesn't feel earned. Like I don't care about their relationship. I have zero interest in it. It's so boring. And
No.
anyway, so
His mysteriousness is what is attractive to her, and I don't know why he really likes her because
no idea.
he doesn't really say. He says a little bit, like he kind of talks about how she's frail and how she's vulnerable, and that's why you like
I
her.
just need you to save me, but I'm still cool and mysterious. Okay, whatever. So asks her what she wants, and she gives him his journal. He's like, oh wow, you came all the way to LA to give me my journal. That's extra and unnecessary of you. And then she asks to be turned into a vampire, and he's like, no, that's fucking dumb. And then he says, do you trust me? And anytime a character says that in a movie, do you trust me? Immediately I'm always like, no. Do you trust me? No.
Shouldn't.
That's stupid. But of course she says yes because he's so hot. I mean, he's good looking, but he's not my type. He tells her to close her eyes, what he does, and they fly over like the LA skyline, which was kind of cool, but weird and dreamy. You didn't really know what was happening for a bit.
Yeah, I think he was trying to trick her or play a joke on her because she was like, he almost like agreed that he was gonna bite her, but then instead of biting her, he just transported her, and then I guess that was the joke. I don't know. I
So he edged her.
exactly, and he literally did because when they finally get to their destination, she falls off the edge of a building, and he reaches down and grabs her.
He's
So
like, don't
good
worry,
one,
babe.
Sid.
I got
Wow,
this.
that was a good segue.
Anyways. So yeah, like Jaxie tells her, oh, she's beautiful because she's human and she's frail and her life matters so much to her because it's short. So again, he's not going to be mysterious to you once he's not the only vampire in the relationship. And you're not going to be exciting for him once you're not a fucking, like, kids, figure it out.
Yep.
So, then she cuts herself on her boob because he's like, you're fragile and all that. And she's like, I'm not that fragile. Burp. And like,
It's like a
cuts the
sewing
boob.
needle. It's like barely anything.
It's so extra. So she cuts her boob and she asks him to turn her again. And he almost does, but then he's like, no. And she's like, I'm ready to see it all. And he's like, oh yeah, bitch. And he takes her to a park where they interrupt a different vampire who's about to feed on this woman. And he scares that vampire away. And then she thinks he's gonna go help this woman because she's dumb. He's literally a vampire. You're
She's an idiot.
stupid. So he goes over to the woman and he attacks her and kills her, obviously. And it is this poor actress. It's the most undignified death. He's like chomping on her neck. Her legs are flying. Her underwear showing. I'm like, you're gonna let her die better? This poor lady.
Yeah, and then he's like, okay, Jesse. He has like crazy eyes because he just ate too.
He's got blood all over his
Yeah, he's
face.
like, yeah, you want to do it still? And she's like, and she has second thoughts. She's like, no, I don't want to do that, actually.
Right. Ugh, moron. That's the only time she makes a good decision. She's like, oh, no, thank you. So now we're in Death Valley, California for
Oh,
the
God.
concert, which was filmed in Werribee Quarry in Werribee, Victoria, Australia.
Okay. I was
Yeah.
noticing a little bit of this with
The
some of the
kangaroos?
characters. Yeah, they were punching everyone in the crowd.
They're tall. Kangaroos are scary.
No, like there's a lot of Australian actors and actresses in this movie. So I wonder if it obviously was filmed there. So that makes a lot of sense. I don't know what the reasoning was, but yeah, so it's some kind of an Australian movie, it seems like.
Australian. That was terrible. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was like more space and stuff because it's a big wide open space.
More space, cheaper. We might bet.
Yeah, true. So the concert's at night because, of course, it is. It's a vampire concert. Plus, concerts are the good ones are usually at night.
Well, it's very disturbing too.
It's
Cut that out. That was fucking terrible. So
So
did
is my voice just
he
there. What were you gonna say something?
Disturb is playing and it's weird.
I stubbed my toe.
Oh.
Oh, my toe. It hurts.
Hate it here.
But it's funny because they shoot it from so far away. So okay, this concert is like a huge stage. It basically is Death Clock from Metalocalypse, the cartoon show. It's literally a show of their band because like everything looks metal as fuck. Everyone looks dressed in black and gothic and all that stuff. It's great.
Right. For like how big it is, it almost looks like a. Oh, I'm
It's like
gonna.
a
I was
festival.
gonna. Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. For how big it is and how big the stage is, it looks like
Yes.
there should be multiple bands playing.
Yes. Which I guess Disturbed open for whatever this band's name is. I'm not sure, and I think I'm with
No
you. Like,
idea.
did they ever say it? I don't know.
I don't think they did.
But I think it's funny that they used the Disturbed song, Down with the Th Sickness, but they did not actually have Disturbed come in and film because they're shot from so far away you can't tell who's actually playing the damn music. Kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny. That is a good point. Thank you. Where was I? Oh, Jesse is walking in with the concert goers, and Lestat's just walking around backstage, and it just shows a bunch of people like, "Oh my God, it's Lestat!" And he's like, "Hey, Hey, everybody. Hey, no hands off, please. Mm.
No touchy.
He likes it. No touchy. So David pops up randomly because David is trying to save Jesse from herself, which is obviously a lost cause.
Yep.
And Jesse, like, dips and ducks away from him in the crowd. And then Marius shows up briefly and is like, hey, David, would love to show you some of my new paintings. But we never get into what their backstory is. So are they like lovers? Are they?
That's what I thought.
What's going on? Right.
But I mean, okay. I don't know. Marius is a serial painter. He'll paint anyone. So I don't know if it's so special to be painted by Marius. But
yeah, but he keeps coming after it. Yes. I don't know. It's giving lovers at some point.
He's persistent. He seems like they were like lovers at one point or something.
Yeah. So the concert goers, it's concert goers and vampires are in the crowd too. You just kind of notice vampires are there.
The vampires are like the Midwest emo crowd where they just stand at the concert with their arms folded and don't headbang at all. Don't enjoy themselves.
Why are you here?
Well, come on. They're there for, yeah, right. Exactly. They're there to kill, Mr. Lestat.
I know, but like, get into it. Come on. So Lestat takes the stage. Very extra. He like hops in with his little vampire moves.
Right.
He's performing. And then the vampire council is just kind of watching him. Like Jack said, they're very Midwest emo. They're just kind of like staring and watching and vibing a little, but they don't want anyone to know.
Like they're tapping their shoe, maybe tapping their boot.
Maybe.
But they're not moving their neck or their head.
No, you can't
do that.
Yeah, they're too cool for that. You can't know they're into it.
You get thrown off the goddamn council if you do that.
Right? Like, come on. Be cool. God, cool people are boring.
Also, so glad that they bought tickets for this thing.
I know. Like, that's so nice of you. Supporting my music. Thank you. Maybe
that's what, like, this whole thing was, is, like, Lestat's trying to get his, like, vampire adversaries like their money for the tickets sales.
Makes sense.
Make sure you buy some merch.
This was before TikTok, so this is what he had. It makes sense now.
Right.
So the vampire council, there's a woman that's like, oh, make sure you go and get Jesse because she doesn't want Jesse to get hurt. And then Jesse notices that the vampires are all kind of coming for her, so she tries to scoot away. It doesn't really go anywhere. She calls for Lestat, and I couldn't tell if she was calling out to him for help or because she saw the vampires moving.
I think it was to warn him.
Okay.
Like she saw all the vampires like poised to attack him, and then she's like, oh, I gotta go tell him in this crowd of
Like how is he gonna million hear people. You?
I don't know. How did she even get to the front? She's such a like character of convenience.
Is everyone seeing me? Are you seeing my super cool outfit? Jesse. Anyways, so sorry. I'm sure she's a lovely person. The actress, not the character. So vampires rush the stage. But then, like, this was kind of cool. Marius shows up and he, like, just helps crunch one of the vampire's heads under his shoe. And he, like, helps Lestat start to fight the vampires rushing the stage.
Yeah,
which plays in, which plays into Jack's thing about, like, how even if they're mad at each other, this is Lestat's. Like, they're going to help each other, which is nice.
I do want to, before we get into the action.
Yeah, go for it.
I do want to point out something that really pisses me off.
Great.
Yeah, you're going to love this. There are two extra band members added to the band.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the backstory of that? When did they add the second keyboardist and the other guitarist, this rhythm guitarist guy?
It's in their documentary, but they don't like to talk about it. It's super painful. So the
crickets in here.
Sorry. I mean, you're right. Who knows where they came from?
The lineup changed. Honestly, what am I bitching about? The band's not even called like Lasart and the Tarts or something like that. It's just like Lasart. Who gives a shit?
It's an amazing band name.
Sorry, Lestat and the Tarts. I fucked it up. I fucked it up. Oh, God.
Lestat and the Tarts is amazing.
Lestat and the Pats. I don't know. Lestat. God damn it.
I need band merch that just says Lestat and the Tarts.
Lestat and the Tarts.
I'm crying. Oh, my God.
Woo.
Sorry. Oh, woo. Oh, was a good one, Jack. Thank you.
Sure, yeah, even though I fucked his name up. That's
so okay. Much better.
But yeah, they just glossed over the fact that they added two more band members.
Yeah, yes, they
I'm did. Pissed.
Maybe they broke up because of the band name. They were just like, no, goddammit, I want
to
be
I am not a tart. I refuse to be a tart. I quit.
You are the starts and the tarts. Deal with it.
Okay.
Thank you. That was
yeah,
great.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So, more vampires start rushing the stage. Marius and Lestat are doing a good job for a while, and it must be like silver blades they're fighting with, because I don't know, maybe vampires don't have the silver rule, but the blades are like really hurting them, and I thought
it's making blade sounds when the vampires jump on the stage. It's like fling, you know, like that kind of which wow, CGI is terrible of these vampires jumping on stage. It's like a picture and then it has like shadows of it like as it moves through the air. It looks so cheesy and bad. So yeah, I don't think the budget went to this particular part of the
CGI. No, it went to Queen Akasha's outfits, as it should.
Yeah,
as it or lack of outfit.
I was gonna say there's not a lot of cloth or anything there, but
and that's fine with me. Yeah, sure. Had abs for days, my god. So Lestat and Marius soon become like outnumbered on stage. They're doing their best. They're like doing the back-to-back fighting, and where like a ring of vampires is around them, which was kind of fun. And then, just as it looks like, oh no, they may lose, vampires just start exploding into fireballs, which my queen has arrived.
Which, now that you're saying that, it's interesting because she's selective about it. She doesn't kill Marius.
No.
Or any of the council. That's interesting, actually.
Yeah. Kind of like killing the lessers that don't really matter.
Yeah.
So she busts through a hole in the stage. Like, she just creates her own entrance, because of course she does. And then she pulls Lestat to her, and then they like shoot up into the sky and just kind of fuck off. And like,
yep.
Marius is just left to be like, okay, show's over. Bye.
And everyone's like, encore! And then he has to like pick up all the instruments and play them. Oh, that'll be so good.
I got this. This is my time to shine.
I want to paint every one of you.
Hold still.
That's when Lestat and the Tart start playing.
Mm-hmm. The origin story of Lestat and the Tarts.
It's like the kids' version of Lestat.
Oh no, not kids.
I love blood. Especially your blood.
Yeah, but they turn it up to 11.
They do. It's true. Yeah. So while all of that is happening, Queen Akasha like pulls Lestat up into the sky. They are on an ocean. Well, they're on a beach near the ocean at night. And she's just basically like, cool, you're mine now. You know, you woke me up. I'm your new companion. This is what you've longed for. You don't have to be alone anymore. I love you. You're my king. Super quick.
Yeah, talk about meat cute. Holy shit.
It was definitely, it was something. And then she, go ahead.
Well, she basically tells Lestat that he's like, you're my boy toy now.
Yeah.
And you're gonna like it.
I mean, it would work on me. It'd be like, yeah, babe. Whatever you want.
You want to eat some hearts for dessert?
Yeah, well, they're good for you. It's tons of iron. She's just worried about his health. She cares. So she tells him, like, oh, you thought you were in control and keeping yourself? Like, no, I kept you safe all those years. He's like, oh, okay. And then she says, like, I can give you all this power. Like, I have my blood and my power, and also the king who, like, ate. I have his power, too. So, like, babe, I'm stacked. I'm ready.
She chomped him.
She jumped him. Then they go to her gorgeous ass castle and they have a sexy bath. Bath is like rose petal.
Rose petal? Do vampires care about that?
Queen Akasha is going to build you a romantic environment. She wants you to feel good.
Just imagine though, the setup time for that. She's like, so how old are you? Oh, just 800, huh? Okay. And then they're like slowly like peeling rose petals and throwing them into this bathtub.
Please, Queen Akasha has servants for that. She doesn't dirty her hands.
And then she kills them right after that, probably.
Probably. It's probably foreplay for her.
Oh, God. Bring forth the petals.
Oh, no. Bring forth my petals. They have a sexy bath. Uh-huh. And then they have more sexy moments, which I did not write down in detail. But if you would like to see sexy vampire moments with Aaliyah and Stuart Townsend, I recommend those scenes.
Sid, I wrote it down.
I bet you did.
No, at one point she bites him.
She does.
It's in the bathtub, so she's like, you know, like kissing up on him, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh! And like she bites him, and it's like, okay, this is taking a turn. And so I kind of thought that was like she's betraying him and trying to get his blood or something, but
I don't know. She's just turning him on.
She's that's what you need.
Well, they're vampires. I don't know.
I guess that's about as kinky as you can get. They have floating sex.
Yes.
They're like ascending, and she's just like, you know, doing their thing.
They do their thing for a while.
Probably like in people time, probably a couple of years. Yeah.
All night long.
All year long.
All year long. All year.
Oh my God.
So after that, we are in the Mojave Desert in California.
God.
Jessie's back in her stupid, weird doll bedroom.
Doll.
Dolls everywhere.
Dolls everywhere.
Like, if you needed more reason to not like Jessie, here's another one. And then she's dreaming, I think, isn't she? Or is this, it was hard to tell if this was a dream or reality for this time.
I think it's finally reality now.
Okay.
I think what happened is that the people at the concert took her to this place, and this is the place she had always been dreaming about.
Okay. That makes more sense. Because, she's back in that goofy-ass courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then her aunt, Maharet, shows up, and she is played by Lena Olin. And she tells her, like, oh, Akasha changed me, but before she did, I had a child, and so I carried on our bloodline, and then I just started taking care of other people's children because this was my way of essentially fighting back against eternity, like protecting mortals and keeping them going,
mm-hmm.
kind of hiding them from Akasha. And she's like, well, so when your parents died, that's what I did. I took you in. I kept you safe, but I didn't want you to grow up here and be in danger. That's why you were forced to grow up as an orphan. So much better. Yay.
Right.
So then Lestat wakes up in a big old bed, and at first he freaks out because the sun's on him, and then he goes outside and he's like, wait, I can be outside in the sunshine. Like, this is new for him. And he just sees a pool, like a beautiful swimming pool, and there are dead bodies everywhere.
Yep.
So.
Paradise.
What kind of foreplay did they have?
No doubt.
Yeah.
That was a lot of petal. It was like a servant per petal.
It's like a rager, but instead of beer bottles everywhere in the pool, you just wake up and there's people. You're like, oh, that's a lot of empty people I drank last night.
I ate so many people. I got a blood hangover.
Did we do another trip to get more people last night? Is that what we did?
We went on a blood run.
I know the convenience store stopped selling people at 2 a.m., though. Like, how did we get these people?
Right. Right? Because, like, that blood's got to be dirty by that point. Ew.
Cold.
It's not even cold. Come on.
Warm people. So,
Akasha. Then he's like looking out over the beach and it's more dead bodies.
there's a lot more, yes.
There's a lot. And this annoyed me because he's acting horrified and she's like, I didn't kill all these people by myself. Like, hello? Suddenly he cares about mortals. He didn't give a fuck about mortals. Now he cares. Like, shut up.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to tell when he's gonna care about humans because when he's talking about Jessie, he likes humans, and I don't. And then when he's overlooking his balcony of death, he's all of a sudden like, "Oh, look at all these random people that before last night I didn't care about, but now I do."
Now I care. I'm clutching my pearls. Like, shut up. Lestat was never good enough for Queen Akasha. Whatever. It's fine. Anyways, so she's telling him, like, because you drink my blood, now you can be in the sunshine. Like, my blood gives you power, the world is ours. And now he's suddenly like, oh, but humans, they want them to live forever. And she's like, humans don't give a shit about anybody. Why do you care about them?
Yeah.
Exactly. Suddenly Lestat cares. Okay.
It's an interesting juxtaposition to the books where the reason Lestat, the man vampire, is so against all this killing, she wants to kill 90% of the world's men and enslave them. And he's like, oh, but I'm a man vampire. I can't be enslaved by this female. It's terrible. It's kind of a horrible, just dumb. It's dumb reason.
So it was a men's rights book?
Ew!
Thanks, Anne Rice.
I hate him even more. God, justice for Queen Akasha. Fuck this. Ugh. Anyways.
I'm sorry, Sid.
I am too. God damn it. It's worse. What a fucking baby. So Lestat is proving that he cannot handle Queen Akasha. He's not man enough for her, obviously. Duh.
I'm surprised she's not having like second thoughts. Like, wait, you don't right. like all this death and destruction?
Like, why this ding dong? She's still more powerful than him. Like,
yeah.
Babe.
Find someone else. Ugh.
Find someone else. This guy sucks. So whatever, he acts like a fucking baby because he is. And then Akasha and Lestat basically find Jesse and Mahara and the rest of the Vampire Council that's talking about how they want to take down Queen Akasha, which I didn't write all it down because it's just some exposition that doesn't really go anywhere. Essentially, she wants to kill the humans. Like TC said that Queen Akasha wants to enslave all the men, kill the humans. Mm-hmm. Good for her. Support that.
Hey.
Not all of them, but like not all of them. Just the ones that suck. Not you guys. You guys are cool. You can hang out.
Keep your feet up.
Totally cool. TC.
TC. Totally cool. That's right.
Finally learned something about you, TC.
That's right.
Told you my parents loved me.
They did. Do. I'm sure they still do.
Wow. Sid. Shut up. Presuming a little bit.
Come from a long bloodline that stretches all the way back to vampires.
Love it. So good. Mm-hmm. So Akasha wants to kill humans, and the new vampires are like, well, we found ways to coexist. We don't really need to kill everybody anymore. And she's like, you guys suck. That's stupid. We're going to kill all the humans. And if you don't like it, I don't give a shit. You try to kill me and you'll die because I'm the mother of all vampires.
Yeah. Her high or the bloodlined highway.
Basically. So Jesse addresses Lestat and Queen Akasha she catches it and she's like, okay, Lestat, if you want to prove to me that you love me, go kill Jesse. Which I was like, yeah, go kill Jesse. Let's do it.
It's a good power move on her part.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Go kill the one that you care about.
Yeah. Prove your loyalty to me, bitch. So he does, but she's not like dead. He doesn't kill her all the way. And then he like makes eye contact with Maharat and because he's like, oh, I need my crown. And I don't know how Queen Akasha hasn't seen through his bullshit yet, but she's like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true king, like drink some of my blood. So he does, but then he starts to drink too much. He makes her weak.
I love, this is so funny to me that vampires know like when to turn the valve off. They're like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
What happened with Marius too? He's like, okay, you've been biting me a long time. It's time to get off.
Enough.
Like, I love that they all have this meter in their head where they're like, oh, that's too much blood. You passed the threshold. And I'm like, nope, no more.
It's like a fail safe. Yeah. So, yeah, like Jack said, he's drinking her blood, but he's doing too much because he's trying to weaken her.
On purpose.
He's a fucking baby. So she starts killing vampires with fireballs, but now she's weaker and they all start attacking her and biting her. And, okay, she is the queen of all vampires. She killed so many people. You're going to tell me that this round of seven ding-dongs figured out how to murder her? Really?
Sid, whatever. Calm down.
No!
We need you for the rest of this episode. Sid, you got to come back to reality here.
No, goddamn it. Justice for Queen Akasha. So they all start attacking her, drinking her blood. Lestat drinks more of her, but before he can kill her off, Maharat stops him and she finishes off Queen Akasha. Which, if we remember, Maria said, don't take in the last drop before they die or it'll kill you. So mm-hmm. Maharat turns into a stone, a statue, kind of like Queen Akasha was at the beginning. And Queen Akasha, like, turns into a statue for a really long time, and then she turns into dust and blows away.
This is where the budget went to. Because this is, seriously? I think this is pretty difficult CGI to do back in 2002. Mm-hmm. But it's like her skin like turns all black, or her whole body like turns black, and she turns into what looks like carbon or something. It was cool looking, but it went on for a long time, like you said. And then like broke into sand, and the sand was going everywhere. And I was like, geez, there's a lot going on here.
I did look at some of the, they weren't extras, they're like cast, but I did look at some of the cast in the background when the sand's blowing. And some of them forgot to control their face. They're just like, ugh, while the sand's blowing in their eyes.
Well, you know. Yeah.
It was funny. So she's gone. It's very sad. Lestat rushes over and fucking saves Jesse.
Favorite character.
Oh my god, now she's a vampire. She's even cooler. Like, is this where Twilight came from? Like, ugh.
I think it definitely has that vibe.
Yes. Of like, oh, I'm just nobody, and but I'm still clever, and I'm hot, and all the boys want to fuck me, but like, I don't know I'm hot. Ugh. But this million-year-old vampire finds me interesting for no fucking reason. Anyway.
Sorry. I love this.
Sorry. I really did have a good time watching this movie. It's just her character. Everything else was like, this is fun.
She sucks, yeah.
She sucks. So he makes her into a vampire, and then we're in David's office, and he's just kind of looking at articles about the band Lestat, or the band after Lestat left.
And then they don't exist anymore. They broke up.
Right. Well, Jesse and Lestat show up, and Lestat gives David the journal back, so because David would like to keep it, which is nice of them. And then he asks Jesse, like, what's it like being a vampire? And she's like, do you want me to show you? And it's fuck off, Jesse. You weren't cool as a human. You're not cool as a vampire. Get out of my face. They leave. It doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't.
And then Maria shows up to David's office. And that was the interaction I wanted to see. And then we just cut over to Lestat and Jesse slow walking through London. And that's the movie.
Yep. That was it. Kind of a weird ending.
A weird ending. This was fun. Very vibey. I had a good time watching it. The vampire stuff was cool. Queen Akasha was a badass.
There were cool parts, but
yeah,
there was just too much of Jesse, and Jesse was the worst part of the movie. Like, not just her, but the whole backstory of like the vampire hunters or whatever those people, the paranormal investigators, didn't really need them because they didn't really do much. Yeah. I would rather it be like Marius and some other like high-profile vampires come together and stop Akasha and Lestat.
Yeah.
Instead of this, like, group that we barely even meet.
Yeah. I wanted more of Akasha, like, her backstory. I wanted to learn way more about her, more screen time. I would have done more screen time with Marius, too. Even Lestat, like, but this fluff that, like Jack said, took up a lot more of the movie than it needed to. This was fun. I had a good time. Vibey, pretty, funny. But it kind of left me like wanting something else. It felt like I missed something.
Yeah, its content felt very shallow. Like,
yeah, that's a good way to say that.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't know if it like because the other movie this is based off of is quite different, right? It doesn't have like nu metal and stuff in the Interview with a Vampire.
Oh yeah, no,
yeah,
That one has more content. I mean, I'm sure if you ask Anne Rice, she probably didn't like the adaptation of that one either. But I still think it had way more than this one did.
Okay.
Because this movie is going for more like style and pretty and less like meat and
edgy fluff. Music. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good time. I would watch it if you have time, but temper your expectations.
Very, very much in the middle with me. It was fun enough to make fun of, but not fun enough to be totally entertaining, I guess, in Jack's eye, which, you know, everyone wants to be there.
Jack and Lestat in the tuts, baby. All right, Jack, so what are you, who are you giving it to? I guess you gotta give it to Lestat and Jesse.
Do I have to? Okay.
No, you can give it to David and Marius.
David and Marius, they should go on a like a quadruple date, or however that works. Double date.
Cute.
What I'm going to give them, it's called Killer Kool-Aid, because it both resembles blood, and this is basically a cult. Everything is a cult in horror movies.
Okay.
It's a cult in that you're a vampire, and you have your own bar thing, that club that you go to, and then you have like the vampire hunters that have their own club. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, it has 1.5 ounces of vodka, it has 1/2 ounce of pea schnapps, it has 1/2 ounce of amaretto sours, 3 ounces of cranberry juice cocktail. And okay. The author, his name is, he's on Reddit, so trust him as far as I can throw him. P Muldu. I don't know. Whatever. He says, do not stir the ingredients. You can like layer it, apparently. So it's like, oh, fancy.
Fancy. So,
Killer Kool-Aid. Sounds pretty good to me.
Love it. It does sound good. I would drink that.
And you said?
Well, I got mine from, it's enzian.org, and it's just the Enzian and Eden bar, and they did celebrate Halloween all October, 13 plus films and cocktails of Halloween. I'm not sure what year this came out, but they have one for Queen of the Damned.
Damn.
So it is called The Forsaken, and it is bullet bourbon, lemon juice, simple syrup, and Merlot.
Oh, so, short and sweet. Yeah.
Short and sweet. All easy to pronounce.
Is that what you're looking for now in a recipe?
Kind of.
We do.
Yeah. So if you would like to contact us, let us know what you think. Tell me I'm wrong and how much you love Jesse. Please don't. You can find us at Final Femme Podcast on Instagram, or you can email us at finalfempodcast@gmail.com. You can rate and review us on all your podcast listening apps of choice. Jack, yes, what's our next movie?
That's a good question, because I got logged out of the thing here. So give me one second to find that out, because I can't fucking remember.
I can pull it up.
Oh, boy.
I was just trying to trap you, but I also don't have it pulled up.
You son of a... Oh, it's sending... I don't know how he got it already. TC
got it. We're going to need a bucket of blood for this next one.
Are we doing Carrie?
We're doing Carrie, baby.
Hey! Ooh! Yay! TC. Another classic.
Carrie, baby. Come on down and walk on the stage for me. Gonna pour a bucket of blood on you.
So hurry on to stage tonight. Love it. That was good. Thank you, TC.
Very nice. Yes, thank you. We'll have to have you back.
Totally cool.
Yeah, Carrie, Beetlejuice, Orphanage. Oh, we got a good lineup. Hell yeah. So yeah, Carrie is next, and Jack is leading us.
Oh shit. I'm scared.
Whoop whoop. All right, until next time, friends.
Bye.
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 No, bye. Bye. I hosted. I get to say bye last. Bye.